Hey, it's John from CityCast. If you're in the mood to pamper yourself a little bit this week while supporting cruelty-free products, you should check out Bon Coeur Home and Wellness. It's the best place in Portland to find everything from chic home decor to cannabis accessories. They've got a curated collection of vegan and cruelty-free home goods and wellness products because their name is French for kind heart, after all. You'll get a 20% discount on your first order when you sign up for emails this week at boncoeur.net. That's boncoeur.net and use the code BONCOEURCITYCAST20.
Today on CityCast Portland, we're talking about the city's mismanagement of the historic Hinton Firehouse, the Portland Bureau of Transportation's campaign against potholes, an update on the PGE rate hikes, and we dig into our mailbag and discuss the true meaning of NIMBY. Joining me on this midweek roundup is our very own executive producer, John Attariani. It's Tuesday, March 19th. I'm Claudia Meza, and this is what Portland's talking about. Welcome everyone to the Midweek Roundup. Today is a day we look at local stories we might have missed late last week or over the weekend, and we talk through them. John, how's it going? How was your weekend?
Hey, good, good. You know, I kind of feel like St. Patrick's Day weekend is like the modern day purge. You know, it's just like when all the bozos come out of the woodwork and like do silly things. So I kept it pretty low key this weekend.
Oh, nice.
How about you?
I mean, the sun was out, so...
The sun was out. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful weekend.
I had a good time.
What'd you do?
Well, I stayed close to home, but, you know, everything was just better. The sun was out.
Did you go out to the park? Did you go to Cathedral?
Of course I went to Cathedral. I went to Pier Park. I went to Cathedral. Name a park. I was there. It was fun. Yeah.
Did you go to Providence Park?
I didn't go to Providence. Okay. Stop naming parks. Okay. but, you know, we spoke about, like, for this March guide, I actually said that what I wanted to do this month is explore more of Beaverton, and I got to do that this weekend. And I just wanted to, like, brag a little bit. If you haven't listened to our March guide, we'll link it to the show notes. It's basically every month we get together and talk about, like, you know, the best stuff to do in Portland that month. But I wanted to tell you that I went to Koramdan, which is this amazing Beaverton Korean restaurant that I hadn't been to because it's kind of on the newer side, and it was super good. And that's it.
Cool.
Well, I know you had an update for us, and I'm excited to hear, like, what are you digging into?
Yeah. So on Friday, I talked about all the utility hikes that are flying around. The biggest one has been electrical rates are going through the roof. PGE was looking at a 7% rate hike. That's on top of like 30% in increases that have happened over the last several years. Friday morning, a story came out. The Oregon Citizens Utility Board is now asking the state's utility regulator to reject that rate hike. And they said they looked into it and that 90% of that rate increase would like basically go towards greater profit for PGE and not towards the sort of infrastructure upgrades that the rate hike ostensibly was supposed to be for. So bless the Oregon Citizens Utility Board. They're standing up and saying, wait a minute, we don't like this. So that rate hike might actually not happen.
I mean, but does Cub have that much power?
Well, I mean, not necessarily. I don't think that they can unilaterally shut it down, but they can sort of raise issues and force a review of the hike. So, yeah, I mean, there already is a long review process before this rate hike gets implemented. And I think that them standing up and saying this is nonsense is a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure we also said it was nonsense last week.
I'm pretty sure we did.
We're just, yeah. We're just like, no.
We concur.
Cool. Well, I wanted to talk real quick about potholes.
Potholes.
Anthony Effinger, he does really interesting stories for the Willamette Week where he kind of follows up on like these like niche city, I don't know, like infrastructure stuff. Like he's the guy who follows like what building is empty, what is going on with that building. And he also decided to cover Pothole March Madness, which is a campaign that PBOT started March 4th and ran until like last Friday. And what it was that PBOT, or Portland Bureau of Transportation, diverted workers from other jobs to form what they adorably called 7 pothole dream teams. So I don't know why. I just thought that was so cute. I saw, because I follow them, because I really like their social media. Whoever's their social media person right now, like, I feel like they got like a Gen Z or something. Like, it's just nothing but memes. But I've noticed that they're taking care of a lot of potholes, and I didn't quite understand what was going on. So Anthony broke it down, and he's just like, so FYI, Portland has a pavement condition index, or PCI, of 53 out of 100, which puts us on the cusp of like awful. And the PCI is a numerical index, and if you don't know, between 0 and 100. So 53 is really low, and it's used to indicate like the general condition of a pavement section. So back in 2008, Portland scored 76. And to keep that rating, PBOT said that the city would have to spend $100 million a year on paving maintenance alone, but instead it has only spent $25 million. So now we're at 53 out of 100. So to get us to this passing grade, PBOT dedicated this entire week, which they called, you know, Pothole March Madness. And I've also learned that it's costing $300 per hole.
Is that more expensive or less expensive than a piercing? I don't know what the going rate is.
Well, I feel like a tattoo, a small tattoo, you could get for $300.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you're saying it's fair, or are you saying it's too much?
I'm saying I have no idea whether that's a lot or a little or a good rate or a bad rate.
It's like, where are we going with this, John?
How many voodoo donuts worth of pothole filling is it?
Like, how many voodoo donuts would it take to fill this pothole? Like, actual donuts. Okay, I'm sure people know this. I didn't know this. I thought potholes were formed when, you know, in ice storms, you have, like, studded tires or whatever. I just always assumed that potholes were, like, caused by rough wear of tires and snow somehow. But what I didn't know is that it's water seeping into the cracks and then freezing and expanding.
Yeah, it's freeze-thaw. Mm-hmm.
Wait, you knew that?
I'm from Michigan. Of course I know that.
John, you just walking around knowing that?
Pothole City. I come from Detroit. I know all about potholes.
I didn't know this at all.
Yeah, I mean, but that's why the winter storms were such a catastrophe for the roads. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they really, really focused on 82nd, which is great. I love that 82nd is getting so much love right now from PBOT, like, you know, NoDOT, and like, hooray. But the city has a pothole reporting system. You email pdxroads@portlandoregon.gov or call 503-823-1700. They are trying to get people to, like, be more cognizant of the potholes because it's causing damage in people's cars. I have friends from the East Coast that will come to Portland and always talk shit about our streets. They're just like, you guys don't even get snow. Why is your road so crappy? And I'm just like, I don't know. But now I know. It's because we don't spend any money on potholes. But anyhow, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. It was just like cool. We're getting our shit together.
Yeah.
We just keep hearing nothing but nonstop, like, you know, just bad news about PBOT. You know, like, hey, they don't have money. They don't, you know, they're not going to figure out how to get more money, or like all this stuff. And like the fact that they're still trying to do as much as they can with what little they have. I don't know. It's just like, go PBOT. Like,
go PBOT.
They're trying. No, they go, but, you know, I feel like a lot of it could be, it just seems like a lot of mismanagement. And it's just unfortunate.
My favorite part of that article is that the Willamette Week is now running basically a pothole beauty contest.
I wouldn't call it a beauty contest.
I have called it a beauty contest. I've taken it upon myself to deem it a beauty contest. They said, find the worst one and we'll send you a splendid prize. So
I don't know what it is yet. It's probably a pothole.
Listeners, if you want to get out there and send your photos over to the folks at Willamette Week, they're on the hunt.
Well, John, what are you looking into this week?
Yeah, this is on the back of a city auditor report, as well as some great reporting by Shane Dixon Kavanaugh. I'm looking at the historic Kenton Firehouse building. This is in North Portland. It is owned by the Office of Community and Civic Life, and it's sort of been in the city ecosystem since the 70s. Well, we're talking about it now because back in 2000, there was a nonprofit that was put in charge basically of like collecting rent for the people who were using the building. That was called North Portland Community Works. Well, that organization ceased operations in May of 2022. But nobody really did anything about it, so they just haven't been collecting rent.
Oh my
so
God.
The Office of Civic Life says they like don't have the authority to collect rent there. So like a number of community groups that have been trying to use that space have just been put on wait lists. And the people who have offices there have sort of just been like living rent free in this historic building. That's a big deal because some of the longtime tenants are local lawmakers. Mm-hmm. So Democratic Representative Travis Nelson has had an office in that building. He's been paying $0 for that office. And fun fact, it was before any of this whole snafu happened, but Tina Kotek used to have an office there when she was in the legislature as well.
She was paying $200 though. I know she was paying, but it was like so below market rate.
It was like $200 bucks a month. Yeah, it was like next to nothing. So now there's all this finger pointing going on about like, why didn't we figure this out? Like, and then like sort of people hyperventilating about lawmakers getting free rent. It's just like a big old classic Portland political mucky muck.
Oh, can I give you some, a little dirt?
Yeah, what do you got?
So the Office of Community and Civic Life, which was a bureau overseen by Commissioner Dan Ryan, has had a succession of directors and interim directors since 2021. And it was also plagued by personnel and performance issues. Like one of their directors was actually ousted for creating a quote unquote culture of fear. And since then, more and more of the responsibilities are given to other bureaus. So pretty much what they're known for is they're the office that helps fund and oversee Portland's like 95 neighborhood association. But it's kind of crazy that they used to do so much more. They like the graffiti removal people.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of other stuff and slowly, just like within the years. And now like Mayor Wheeler's office has taken over the entire Office of Community and Civic Life. And I think they're further divvying up like stuff. So I don't know like what's going to happen to that bureau. But it's just not known for keeping an eye on things. Let's just put that way.
Yeah, it's just one of those classically dysfunctional city offices. And I think that this is all a part of the sort of reshuffling that's going to be coming with the restructuring of government, you know? The other thing that I loved that I never really wrapped my head around reading this story was this came to the light of the auditor's office via the fraud hotline.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about this, Claudia?
Oh, yeah, I know about the fraud hotline. But I just love that somebody was just like, nobody's paying rent in that building. And I'm like, cool. But like, also, they really did hone in on Travis Nelson. Like, he was just like some big bogeyman, which I thought was funny. Because I'm like, it's clear that this office has been used. It's because I don't know if you know this, but it's tradition. If you are a state representative that represents Canton kind of gives you this office in the building when you're not in Salem. And it's just tradition. That's what happens. So I could totally imagine before Kotek was paying $200 and then in comes Travis, he's paying $200 and then they're just like stopped collecting. You know, he's just like, okay. You know, like this is like, I just love that they're just like Travis Nelson. You know what I mean? Like, you know, fraud. And also it's not like he's ripping off, it's money from the state government. Like the state government wasn't paying for it. Like, it's not like he's screwing anyone over. I just thought it was just funny the way it was slightly kind of skewed. Like, if you look at the picture of who is like the face of this, it's Travis Nelson. Like, he freaking did anything. Like, he was just some guy just ripping off the city, you know? Sorry. I thought it was kind of ridiculous.
I mean, I think it's worth noting that, like, we have had a number of sort of minor political scandals over the last couple of years of elected officials, like getting discounted rent from developers or paying like very, very, very far below market rents. Like Renee Gonzalez comes to mind for like getting an office space that was priced like way, way, way below market rate. But like, to me, this is like a situation where, you know, Representative Nelson had an office and then like the landlord just went MIA, you know, it's sort of like turned the building into an art squat, right? It's just like, well, I guess we're going to keep throwing shows here until they kick us out. This landlord's gone.
I don't know if you've been to the Canton Firehouse, but that's where the tool library is.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Part of me was just like, oh, I hope the tool library hasn't been paying either. Like, I love the tool library. I mean, part of me is just like, good. No one should be paying rent. Great. Great. But no, I'm glad. I mean, I know that they need the money for building maintenance and all that stuff. So I'm glad it's being taken care of. But I don't know if you noticed or if you caught that when the city auditors was like, hey, man, why weren't you grabbing rent or whatever? The Office of Community and Civic Life were just like, actually, it might be illegal for us to do so. Like, I don't think we have the jurisdiction. And it just reminded me just a little bit when Parks and Rec, when they let all those trees die and they're just like, sorry, we don't have the skills or the people to water trees. And I was just like, you guys, I'm sure you could have figured it out.
My only final thought on this is the Portland Fraud Hotline is like normal gossip for civics.
I love it.
So if you want to snitch to the city, portlandfraudhotline.com, or you can call them 866-342-4148. And if you've got that good gossip, CC us, because we want to know too.
If you guys don't know, Normal Gossip is a hilarious podcast that highly recommended. And it's literally just gossip from normal people. And it's like the most mundane things that it will suck you in. All right, well, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, let's dig into the mailbag. Well, I wanted to dive into this mailbag. This is a note we got a few weeks ago, but we've just been so busy. We've gotten a lot of mail, let's just put it that way. But I wanted to make sure that we talked about this because we have continued a conversation on the bottle drop in St. John's, and this is regarding that. So here's the email. Hello, para-relationship friends. After a second helping of bottle drop in St. John's on Tuesday, I feel compelled to ask, why is your objection to the proposed bottle drop legitimate and righteous, while the same actions for the same reasons by the residents of Dunthorpe or Forest Heights considered elitist NIMBYism by the property class? And then he goes on and explains what NIMBYism, but for those who don't, NIMBY is short for not in my neighborhood.
Not in my backyard.
Or thank you. Not in my backyard. Sorry. Not in my neighborhood would be NIMN. Yes, not in my backyard. What John said. Oh my God, John, you are a little more awake than I am this morning. Anyhow, he was just curious. If you've missed it, we did cover that there was a bottle drop intended to open. I think it's still being thought through. And there was a huge uproar from St. John's. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I don't know, John, what do you think?
It's interesting. I mean, when I think of NIMBY and NIMBYism, it is usually used to refer to housing developments, right? Like we talk about NIMBYism in terms of, are we creating places for affordable housing in neighborhoods where that will decrease the property values,
exactly.
You know? And I think that like most of the conversations around this development aren't really about property values. But like, I do think that there is a tricky edge here where like what is it that we are protesting about this bottle drop? Is it that, you know, like, and we've talked about the environmental concerns, we've talked about the traffic concerns. But I think that it isn't far-fetched to say that like part of it is that it is going to be an attractive destination for the homeless population to congregate. And like on that edge, I could see that like there is a bit of, we don't want these people in our community. And that's the same thing that's been happening all over the city. I mean, that's what's been happening with the Safe Rest Villages. That's what's been happening with the Spring Water Corridor. That's what's been happening with like I think like the strongest representation of this is what happened near Laurelhurst Park, right?
But that was also very specific.
Yeah.
Because when I think of not in my backyard, I really do think of there is a class divide or difference. And though I do believe I agree. I'm like, yeah, people are clearly saying, hey, we don't want this in our backyard, you know, but the reasons I feel like he specifically, Mike FJ has said, how is this different from Forest Heights to St. John's? And all I can say is you should visit St. John's. Then you will see how different it is from Forest Heights, which is a master planned community in the West Hills of Portland created in the 1990s for those seeking a little bit of California construction in their Portland residence. Forest Heights is a pleasant planned community with decidedly Portland amenities. It has an HOA that grooms the walking trails. It is not St. John's, John.
I'm just imagining like describing St. John's in that same language. And
I mean, Mike, I appreciate wanting us to take on this question, but this is apples and oranges. St. John's has been traditionally dumped on. like as a community because it is lower income people and people of color and immigrants. The reason people were getting so upset is because the bottle drop was going to continue on this thing. And also, like, yeah, it was it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I don't think that there is an easy, clear answer to any of these questions. I appreciate being able to hear from our listeners and to hear from you and, yeah, discuss these things.
Well, here is another letter that we received. Well, email, I should say. This is really sweet. Dear CityCast Portland, after hearing how much the appreciation from other founding members meant to you, I realized I didn't tell how much I appreciate you guys when I joined last week. I was born and raised in Portland and am now in the Foreign Service, diplomat, currently living in Denmark, but also lived in Pakistan twice, Tunisia, Guyana, and Rome, which is to say that it's been years since I lived in Portland, even though I come home for a visit once a year. Once a year, can you imagine? CityCast Portland has been a lifeline to keep me connected to Portland. I love your fun banter and wide range of topics and guests. It's like joining in with a group of friends talking about real life daily issues from an everyday citizen approach, like listening to my own friends who have looked into the issues carefully. I also appreciate how you dive into both the good, the bad, and the ugly about Portland. With the weight and scale of global and national news, it's refreshing to focus on the local level and have some hope that things can improve. I truly have you to thank for that focus. Sending big hugs of appreciation from Copenhagen, Philip.
Oh, Philip, thank you.
Isn't that so? Thank you so much. That is so kind. And also, it seems like you understand what a podcast is, and I appreciate that too. Here's the deal. I'm saying this because sometimes we get emails and I am confused by them, John. And I think I've sent them to you too, because I'm just like, I don't understand what is happening here. And here's the deal. You can clearly disagree with some of the things we say, and that's awesome. I love hearing that. We love hearing that because this is a conversation you're invited to partake in. But we aren't detached commentators. We're engaged in these conversations. These are like important things that we're figuring out between each other. We don't have all the answers. And literally, we're just talking ideas through live on the show. This isn't like an authoritative news anchor. We're not news anchors. We're not. And if you think we're news anchors, you're going to be so disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like part of what we're trying to do here involves thinking through these things and like feeling through it too. And like sort of feeling the emotion that comes with some of these stories, you know, which is like anger sometimes or frustration sometimes. We're opening ourselves up to criticism, Claudia, by like sort of talking through some of these ideas in real time. And like, we will misspeak sometimes. But I mean, to me, I think it would be dishonest for me at least to pretend like I know all the answers and that I have an authoritative take on all of these things. I feel like I'm trying to figure it out just like everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, thank you so much for everyone who follows the conversation, who partakes. We love listening from you guys, knowing, you know, what your takes are on the topics. You know, I feel like we're all kind of learning together. We're going to do the best we can to bring you the best reporters to talk about these issues, and also just the best community members who are working on those issues. But like, yeah, man, like this is the whole point of a podcast, is it's a conversation. And so you're welcome to join us.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Claudia.
Well, that's all for today here on CityCast Portland. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Until then, see you at Slim's.